Well, like I say, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 4. And let me just read that for us. So Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, page 972. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." I wonder what advice you give to people when people come to you saying that they're struggling, when people are facing problems. Maybe it's problems with family, parenting, parents getting older, problems at work, financial problems, marriage problems, problems caused by parents, problems caused by employers or employees. What problems do you say do people come to you with, and how do you say that they should deal with them? A lot of the time, people will say to one another, basically, you can get through it. You are the answer to your problem. You'll be okay. You can tough it through. Or we try to be the answer to people's problems. So we try and take the problem away from them, and we try to be the solution for them. But often we tend to think that the problems are outside and the solution is inside. The problem is outside us, it's them. It's my spouse, it's my work, it's my neighbours, it's them. They're the problem, and the solution is inside. I've got to deal with this. Now, what we see when we come to Matthew chapters 8 and 9, which we're going to be looking at throughout the rest of this term in Emmanuel at 4, until we get to Christmas, when, of course, we'll change focus on Christmas. But what we're going to look at is we're going to see that in these chapters, there are 9 miracles that Jesus does. And they are split into 3 sets of 3. And in them, we see Jesus' authority. We see Jesus dealing with people's problems. You see, Jesus, in the previous chapters, has just been teaching on the mountainside. He has done what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't call it that, he didn't announce it as that, but we know it as that, as the Sermon on the Mount. And there you see Jesus teaching authority. And then Jesus comes down the mountain, and we see in chapters 8 and 9, Jesus' authority seen in healings and other miracles. And like I say, there are 3 sets of 3. The first set of 3 miracles is dealing with outcasts, people who were shut off from other people. We see him healing a leper, dealing with a Gentile, a non-Jew, and dealing with a woman. Now, okay, back then women were considered not to be equal with men. And therefore they were considered, well, maybe not outcasts, but there was a barrier there for them. And Jesus deals with all 3 of them in the first 3 set of 3. Second set of 3 is about Jesus dealing with things that we don't have the power to deal with. He deals with the storm. He deals with a demon. He deals with sin. Things that we don't have any power over. Things that seem massive to us. And then the last set of 3... Oh, it's nice. Great to have you. The last set of 3 actually shows people reacting to Jesus differently. So we'll see them as we go through the term. First one we deal with is this one of Jesus dealing with an outcast, Jesus dealing with the leper. But in each of the cases, in each of the miracles, in none of them does Jesus ever say to the person, "You'll be all right, just get through it." Jesus doesn't just come alongside them and say, "They're there, you'll be okay, the answers are within you." He never does that. He always says, actually, "I am the answer to your problems. I am the answer to your greatest needs. I am the answer to the things that you cannot deal with by yourself. And there are things that we can't deal with by ourselves." And we see that in this first miracle. Jesus deals with an outcast. He deals with a leper. Ooh, I was going to put them up. That would have been helpful for you, wouldn't it? Then you could have seen the 3 sets of 3. There you go. Jesus and the outcast. He deals with the leper. That's what we're going to focus on this time. And we're going to think about it in terms of 3 points. What's so bad about being unclean? Because that's what the leper says. The cleaning power of Jesus, and so much more than a cleaner. First off, what's so bad about being unclean? Because that's what the man says. Verse 1. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." What was the man's problem? The man's problem was leprosy. Now, we don't know whether it was what we now term as leprosy, but it was certainly an infectious skin disease of some sort. It was a horrible condition. It would have been disfiguring, probably. Would have been very painful. I mean, and he would have had it, it would have been progressive, and it would have been something that would have been just horrible for him. This last week, I've had a cold, I've not dealt well with that. He had leprosy. I mean, it's just on a completely different scale, isn't it? It would have been physically horrible for him. But this problem was not just medical. Notice he says, "Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean." His problem was he was unclean, which meant that there were restrictions placed on him. And these are all outlined for us in the book of Leviticus. And I'll put a couple of the verses up on the screen there. You can see this is what he would have had to have done. It says, "The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp." Can you imagine what life would have been like for him? This man having to walk around in ripped clothes, unkempt hair, covering the lower part of his mouth, and shouting out whenever he's near anyone, shouting out, "Unclean, unclean." Not allowed to go near people, not allowed to live near people, socially isolated, excluded from others, not allowed to live amongst other people, apart from maybe other lepers. Socially isolated, so physical pain, social isolation, but also that, don't you think his uncleanness would have just defined him? It would have become who he was, because whenever he was with anyone else, he would just have to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." People wouldn't know his name, they'd just know him as the unclean person who they weren't allowed to be near. It would have sickened him, I would have thought, that throughout his life from here on, he was just unclean. That's what he was. And furthermore, he was cut off from God. He wasn't allowed to go into the temple. Lepers who were unclean weren't allowed to go in there. Now you might think, well, we don't have much in common with this guy. What are we actually going to get from this passage? We don't have a lot in common. I don't know anyone here who's got leprosy. And yet, actually, we've got more in common than we like to think. Would you just keep a hand in Matthew chapter 8 and turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 7, which is on page 1010. Page 1010. Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 20 to 23. And notice what Jesus says here about unclean, clean and unclean. So page 1010. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." See, Jesus is saying there are ways of being unclean that aren't to do with a skin disease. In fact, the problem that we all have is what's on the inside of us. It's not what's outside that's the problem. Jesus is saying, no, no, no. Your biggest problem, my biggest problem, is what's on the inside. And do you notice the list of things that Jesus says? Some of them are big things where you say, well, yeah, probably nobody here has done. Maybe few people have done. Like murder. But actually, there's a lot in the list. If we just focus on those things, we might think, oh, well, that's other people. But there's a lot in the list where you have to say, that's you and me, isn't it? After all, he talks about envy. Ever looked at another person's career, or car, or spouse, or house, or holiday, or salary, and thought, well, if only I had what they've got? Arrogance. Ever looked down on anyone and thought, well, at least I'm not like them? Evil thoughts. You see, we think that just because they're in our minds, they don't matter. They don't really make us unclean. But Jesus says, actually, they do. Even our thoughts. Thinking what you would do to that person. Thinking what you would say to them. What you'd really like to say or do. Jesus says, all these things flow up from inside and make us unclean. Now, they don't make us unclean by making us feel physically unclean, although some might. They don't necessarily isolate us socially, although some will. But they all separate us from God. They all make us unclean in terms of relating to God. And therefore, we're more like this man than we like to think. In fact, this leper is a picture of us. Because we're all unclean. Now, second point. The cleaning power of Jesus. I'm sure you've come across household tips for getting rid of stains. There are all kinds of things. A couple I picked up. Apparently, white wine on red wine. Anyone ever tried that one? Does it work? Didn't work. Just wasted white wine. Okay, regret that one. Glad we won't. I won't try that one. Apparently, I put this down quite a while back. You'd have to check with Cara on this one. For blackberry juice stains, you boil them in milk. Anyone tried that? No. Yeah. Maybe you should try it. Get something. What do you think, Jean? No, you're not convinced. Okay. Boiling things with blackberry juice stains in milk. There you go, give it a try, and let me know whether it works. Okay, the leper's words are quite startling about how he could be made clean. It's a loose link, isn't it? But there you go. How can he be made clean? Verse 2, he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knows that the one thing that stands between him and getting clean is Jesus' will. He says, Jesus, I know you can do it, it's just whether you want to. Do you want to make me clean? And yet, that is something that is really profound. After all, in the Old Testament laws, if you were someone who had leprosy, if you had an infectious skin disease, you had to do all those things that it said in Leviticus 14, I think we said. So you've got to be, you know, go around shouting unclean, doing all that sort of thing. If you ever got well from your infectious skin disease, which was very unlikely, you then had to present yourself to the priest. And the priest would have to do various rituals. And there was a lot of things going on in these rituals. A lot of shaving, a lot of washing, a lot of killing of animals and putting blood on you. And only after you'd done that, and it would take quite a long time, it would take a week or so, to go through all the rituals that you had to do, and then you would be declared clean. So even if you got better, you had to go through all the rituals, and then you were declared clean. This man is saying, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can get rid of the social stigma, you can get rid of everything, and you can declare me clean without having to do all that stuff. This guy is saying something really amazing about Jesus. Jesus, you can do this just with a word, if you want to. Well, does Jesus want to? Verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, just notice that. He reached out his hand and touched the leper. And he said, I am willing, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. You can see why Jesus touches it. I mean, Jesus doesn't have to. There are plenty of times where Jesus just speaks and someone is healed. But he touches the leper. Now that's really significant, isn't it? We already can see that. This is a man who hasn't had physical touch from anyone since as long as he's had the skin disease. And Jesus touches him. And whereas for other people, if you touched that leper, you became unclean. For Jesus, when he touches the leper becomes clean. It goes the other way around. How? How is it that Jesus can touch him and make him clean rather than Jesus becoming unclean? Well, the answer is that Jesus has already fulfilled all of those ceremonies, or will fulfill all those ceremonies that the man would have to go to be declared clean. Because what would have to happen? There would have to be animals killed. That man, if he ever got clean from his leprosy, or in the Old Testament, if it ever happened, they would have to have blood sprinkled on him. It's an odd idea, isn't it? To make someone clean, they'd have to have blood sprinkled on them. And when one of the animals is killed, the blood is put on the right earlobe, right thumb, and right big toe. I'm not quite sure why those bits of the body, but nevertheless, it's still blood that's being applied. And Jesus, as we know from later on, dies on the cross, his blood poured out, so that our uncleanness can be dealt with. And it is as if Jesus' death, echoing out forwards and backwards in time, hits this leper, and Jesus says, I am willing, be clean. Because Jesus died, the leper can be clean. And because Jesus died, you and I can be clean as well. You see, the question we could have is, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make us clean. Jesus, are you willing? Are you willing to make us clean? And the answer is yes. Clearly yes, because he goes and dies. And we have the promises in the Bible to say that if we turn to Jesus, we can be made completely clean. All of our sin, all of our blemishes dealt with. That's Jesus' promise. Now, if you're not a Christian today, can I encourage you that you need to turn to Jesus to have those stains, that sin, dealt with, actually to receive what he has done for us. And if you do, his promise is you can be made clean as well. And if you're a Christian, we need to make sure that we are remembering that Jesus' death really deals with sin. Do you remember those adverts where... They were on TV ages ago, when someone would come, it was the doorstep challenge, I think. Is that the one where they bring out white clothing and they say, you know, your whites are pretty good, but they're not really good. They're not that good. Our problem as Christians is that we can think, yeah, we're forgiven, but we don't really think that the stains have been dealt with. Like a coffee stain that you can still see on an item of clothing, even though it's been washed many times. We still think that our sins stick to us. And we do that because we remember them. We remember what we've done. We remember the bad things we've thought, said. And we remember our wrong actions, our wrong thoughts. We remember the things that we've failed to do. And we think they still stick with us. But if we think God sees us like that, what we're saying is we think that Jesus doesn't really deal with sin. He can't really deal with it. His death isn't really enough. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves and tell ourselves the truth, because we will believe a lie. The lie that we will believe is that we think that our sin is still on us. But Jesus' death says it is dealt with. If you're a Christian, you've been made perfectly clean. Last one. So much more than a cleaner. We'll come to that in a moment. There are various clues sometimes that you can spot who a certain person is. If in a football team you want to see who the captain of the football team is, if you're watching a match, you look for the person with the armband. Apparently the Queen, if she drives around in a car with no number plates, which means she presumably can't get stopped for speeding. But you can spot who's who. With those things. Jesus, in doing what he does in Matthew 8 and 9, when doing these miracles, is sending out big signals to say, this is who I am. He is saying, he's making a statement about himself. And we see that he is kind of making this statement by curious thing that he says in verse 4. Did you think it was strange when it was read? Have a look. He says in verse 4, then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone. Now, how this leper, who had this infectious skin, is supposed not to tell anyone is slightly mysterious. But anyway, he's not supposed to go around telling everyone that Jesus has healed him, but rather, go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What does that mean? To say as a testimony to them. It's a slightly odd thing to say. See, Jesus is saying, go to the temple and do all the things that you should do. Do the blood on the earlobe and the thumb and the do all the things, shave and do all the things that you should do. Not because that will make you clean, because Jesus has already said he's willing and that he is clean. But why? As a testimony to the priests. So that the priests at the temple will know something. But know what? Well, I wonder how many times they'd had to dust off Leviticus to look up the rituals for when someone had been healed of leprosy. I would imagine never. That it's never happened. They've never had to look these things up. And therefore, as he goes to the temple and he says, look, I used to have leprosy, but now I don't. And as they're sort of bowled away going, really? What do we do now? Well, you've got to look up Leviticus. We'll have to look it up then. As they're doing that, they should then be saying, hang on, what's going on here? Well, how is it that you've managed to be cured of leprosy, something that no one's been able to be cured of before? And that he would tell them about Jesus and what he has done. That there is someone who is going around curing lepers. But more than that, that there is someone doing a whole load of other things. Just flick on in your Bibles, one page, to Matthew chapter 11. Sorry, it's not just one page. Page 976, it's two pages. Matthew 11, verses 4 to 6. Now, at this point in Matthew's Gospel, John the Baptist, who is in prison, is wanting to find out, is Jesus really the Messiah? Is he really the one who has been sent by God? And this is what Jesus says to those whom John sends. He tells them this, verses 4 to 6. He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Now Jesus is saying to him, here's the list, here's the things I'm doing. I'm giving the blind sight, I'm helping the lame walk, and so on. Lepers are cured. Now this is not just any old list. This is a list from the book of Isaiah. This is a list of things which is saying, when God comes, these things will happen. That's what it says in Isaiah. When God is among you, when God comes to be with you, these things, these miracles will happen. And so, as the leper goes to the temple, Matthew 8, as he goes there and says to them, I've been cured, they should be thinking, hang on, lepers are being cured. And as we'll see later on, those who are dead are being raised, those who are blind are receiving sight. There are all kinds of miracles going on here, and they're not just any old miracles. These are things that the Old Testament said would happen when God is among us. See, Jesus is not just doing any old miracles. He's doing things to point to who he is. And it's as if he's saying to the priests in the temple, priests, have you worked out who I am? And as we read this in Matthew 8, it's as if Jesus is saying to us, have you worked out who I am? That I'm not just anybody. I'm not just a magician. I'm not just doing incredible tricks. I am God among you. Have you come to the conclusion of who Jesus is? He's so much more than a cleaner, so much more than someone who can just deal with our problems. He is God himself. And so we need to see here Jesus. We need to see the problem of being unclean. It's a problem that we all have. We need to see the cleaning power of Jesus, that he is the only one who can deal with our sin. And we need to see that Jesus is so much more than a cleaner. Have you responded to Jesus? If you're a Christian, have you realized what Jesus has done for you and how you're completely clean? Let me just lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would help us to see our uncleanness for what it is, and that you would help us to come to Jesus, to be made completely clean. Father, for those who haven't done that yet, please would you help them right now to come to Jesus, to be made clean. And for those who've already done this, Father, please would you help us, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, to know that we are completely cleaned by Jesus. And Father, we thank you that these miracles point to who Jesus is, that he is far more than just a miracle worker, but that he is God himself. Amen.